Jackie Cation, Laurie Kilmartin. Jackie Cation, Laurie Kilmartin. It's the Jackie and Laurie Show. The Jackie and Laurie Show. It's the Jackie and Laurie Show. The Jackie and Laurie Show.
I'm in Columbus. Where are you?
I'm in Los Angeles, but I will be in New York City starting on Friday night. And I have like, I don't know, 6 or 7 spots each night, Friday, Saturday. Nice. And then Sunday I'm at the Broadway. And then Monday I'm doing Butter Boy and then The Stand Frantic. And then Tuesday, if all goes well, I'm doing a spot on Sherry Shepherd's show, her daytime show that replaced Wendy Williams' show. So, yeah.
Good on you. We did At Midnight. There's a credit.
We got to talk about it.
Yeah, there you go. Now's the time. Let's have a podcast and talk about it. I love it.
Okay. Well, start, Jackie.
Well, it was fun. It was
so much fun.
It was so much fun. It's being run by people who just want everyone to have a good time. There doesn't seem to be the frenetic energy that can sometimes happen with a show that is just dumb fun. That's supposed to be dumb fun. It doesn't get, they produce the fuck out of it. And the thing that's dumb fun gets overthink it. And this one.
And also.
Yeah.
Yeah. It can get real, things can get clubby. I remember like with Tough Crowd, it was so New York comic based that when an LA comic would come in, it was like an invader was here, right?
And a little clicky. And
after midnight, they're like, they do everything for you. You literally don't have to do a thing except show
up,
right?
To. Yeah.
If you want to write jokes or rewrite stuff or whatever, you can. Mm-hmm. But they have great writers and they give you a huge selection of stuff to choose from if you don't have anything. And so you basically can just show up.
Yeah.
If you don't want to do anything. It's great.
Yeah. And it's the amazing thing is that the writing that you get to do, the performing that you get to do is all that in between stuff. So, and they encourage that because that's where they find some editing gold.
My writer was Skylar Higley, who I worked with. I mean, he did our
he just
our
keeps
Jackie
popping
and Laurie
up.
Show.
Yeah,
I love Skylar. Well, he lives here now, and he did. He was a Conan writer, and he wrote for The Onion after Conan went down, and now he's on After Midnight. He's really funny, and he has really good taste. So, like, I would run stuff by him that I had, and he'd be like, "That's good." And I'd be like, okay. And they'd be like, good, well. And I'd be like, all right, let's work on that one then.
The young woman that I was working with was so good and really nice. And I was, I've been so tired and weirdly, I mean, it's probably, let's just say I should probably take Lipitor. But whatever it is I, for some reason, I'm having a hard time concentrating. I don't feel well.
Gotcha.
But but so it was, yeah, she was so funny and the selections were so great. And it was sort of in real time, you know, where they were like, okay, so Laurie took that, Maria took that. Do you want any of these?
Know.
And I'm like, yeah, 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 sure. Other things were written, made them personal. It was super, super fun.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. What I will, if I go back on the show, if I'm invited back, I will immediately go for the hashtags first and grab the best hashtags. Because usually, like, our hashtag was Edible Broadway. So it was like food Broadway puns. And I was like, if I had just a half hour to, like, look at Broadway show names, I would have
been,
fun, but
you would
have
had your own
time,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah, yeah,
yeah. So I grabbed what were to me the top ones and that were left.
I love the strategy. I love the let's go to hashtag wars first. You're sitting in the makeup chair, and they're like, let's
FYI,
just scroll.
Go to hashtag wars first. Yeah, it'll be like the third or fourth thing on your list of things, and you'll probably go in chronological order. I'm telling you, get there first, grab the good ones, because those are so quick, and there's so many that it's a task to write them. And so when right. someone else has done the work for you, you know, take advantage of that.
Yeah, it's super. Yeah, it was. And then I brought all of the clothes in the world because I now have Style Ethic at Style Ethic. And on Instagram, it's been helping me pick stuff. Like my Don't Tell came out. Cool. I don't think I would have done that. The Don't Tell came out the same day.
We did it. Well, that's a lot. But
I don't know. I asked for it. I thought that they would bounce off each other quite well. I think the Don't Tell should have came out the next day, just because it would have been additional content, right? And as the words are used, but because the After Midnight clips were great,
yeah.
But then there was numerous and several. And the way, if people haven't got a chance to see it, if you go to the After Midnight YouTube channel, essentially they just break it up into 3 10-minute chunks. They don't have the whole show, but it's 3 10-minute chunks, which in an hour long show, that's plenty. You've seen the best 3 10-minute chunks.
Yeah.
And, but Taylor was so nice and just like, you know, at one point, Andy came to the show with his buddy Kevin, and Kevin has been a fan of Taylor's. Like, Kevin is, here's what's going on stand-up comedy-wise in my house. There's a lot of stand-up comedy fans going on. First of all, I forgot that Kevin had been a stand-up comedy fan before he met Andy, right? Before I met him. Right. They had a friend who actually, they went to college with Chris Hardwick, right? So they all went to UCLA together. There was their buddy Randy did stand up, and he did stand up with Chris. And
what's his last name? Randy's last name. Do you remember? Wasn't Randy Houser? Was it? Okay.
Yeah. Might have been. Could have been.
Really?
He doesn't do stand up anymore.
From San Francisco. No, he was like the it boy comic of San Francisco for a little while. Randy.
I don't
Houser
think
was.
It's him. I don't think it's him.
Okay.
I wish I could remember his last name because I've gone apple picking with him in Boston, outside of Boston. So, because he lives outside of Boston, he's married, got a kid.
Oh, it's not
maybe
Randy
two.
Helzer.
No, okay. I don't think it's. Because he doesn't. He went into all of Andy's friends from college, or just went into fantastical nerd jobs, like amazing. Like his buddy Lee works at Jet Propulsion Labs and does, you know, his buddy John was the IT guy for the fucking Navy. Like one of like six guys who did all the IT, whatever. But so Kevin, huge fan of Taylor's from the beginning, like, and so when they came up, because we were all going to dinner, I asked you if you wanted to go. You went home to your young man to hang out with your son. And but
shh, don't tell her.
Just so people don't think that I didn't invite you. I invited you.
If they think that, it's because I told them that on my other secret podcast called Complaining About Jackie Cation.
I will say that. Okay, so. Stories. Oh, God, everything. I am quite a project this morning, as a matter of fact. I was just trying to get a cup of coffee from somebody. Okay, the story continues. Here it is.
Yeah.
I entered. So Taylor came up and was just talking about how she enjoyed the show and how it was really fun. And Kevin and Andy had just walked away from me. And I said, oh, my God, I have to introduce you to my friend Kevin. He's a huge fan. And she was like, oh, yeah, yes. Like we do, like you do. Right. And I found Kevin. And then Kevin. No one was weird. It was perfectly nice. I think it was. And she was super polite. And he didn't gush too hard. But here's the other thing happening stand up comedy wise in my home. My mother-in-law.
Yeah.
Is watching stand up comedy specials. For 5 or 6 hours a day.
Oh dear. Just that for you, Jackie.
After just dry bar after dry bar after Netflix after Netflix after dry bar. To the point where as I walk through and Andy's trying to work on his computer, which is in the living room, which is where her chair is, which is where the giant TV is.
Right.
There's a small TV.
Right, right. Oh my God.
At one point they're watching a comic. And and this is absolutely cannot be possibly be true. But the two of them were discussing how some jokes that this person was doing. Now it is.
Okay. Wait, not a chance.
It's under everyone.
Okay.
Okay.
So wait, who was discussing?
Chris and Andy were discussing about how some of this person's premises were beneath them.
Huh.
So as I was walking
that's a very specialized conversation to have.
Right.
Especially for an 82-year-old woman from Visalia, California. But good for her.
Right. As I walked through, they were talking about it, and I said, why don't you two write a fucking joke? And then I kept moving. And I was like, you don't get to. Yeah, I was livid. Well, I wasn't livid. But I mean, I was just like, this has turned into something very weird. And so, she was watching so many people. I was like, I know Tommy Ryman has a dry bar. I know Bent Washburn has a dry bar. And then she was watching one of the big dudes, right? One of the fancy, I was like, would you please watch Chad Daniels's first, I don't think it's his first special. I think it's actually his second special, but that he put out himself on YouTube. And so I put that on and she loved it. And I was like, yeah, why don't you ask me? Like, she's watched all of the gay ladies because she's a gay lady. She's seen Tig and Fortune and and then the more.
Did she watch Wanda at all?
Oh, she's watched Wanda and Ellen several times.
Yeah.
And then she and then she's watched. But yeah, it was feel free to email me suggestions, Jackie at JackieCation.com, because I don't want to walk through and watch her just watching just some dude I've never heard of talk about the WNBA. I don't want to. No, I don't want. Absolutely not.
Those jokes are. I love your. I mean, I feel the same way. It's like, good. I guess you got laughs in that one year that premise was valid that no one watched the WNBA. But that shit's forever now, motherfuckers. And now
that's not going to age well, my brother.
Yeah, 5 more years and you're going to look embarrassingly unprescient.
Right. Well, and that's hilarious because whenever I post like an old joke and someone's like, "Oh my god, that came true." That came true. I was like, I genuinely feel like Nostradamus. I'm like I'm just like, "That's right, motherfuckers. I know." And I mean, granted, I'm shooting twice a day. We got to shoot up the dog now for insulin, for diabetes.
Oh,
and I used to do the twice a day cat joke, and turns out, but dog insulin. Did you know this? Dog insulin's so much cheaper than people insulin. Made of the same stuff. Go to Walmart.
Really?
$47 a month. Oh, and then the phone rang in my room. Hang on a second.
Is that,
talk amongst
that
yourselves.
That seems like an old school rotary phone. Jackie, we'll pause. I mean, I cleared my
wait,
schedule.
No, wait, don't. They went away.
Podcast,
they went away.
But,
well, so did I. So here's the rest of the fact that I'm a freaking mess. So I fly yesterday. I leave at 6 a.m. So I get to LAX at 4:30. And Delta Comfort usually works out. Not this one. I'm next to the jump seat with the flight attendant. So, and there's a 2-year-old right behind me who kicks and is screaming, which I don't hear because I have headphones, but is kicking my seat and actually
that
kicks,
I'm against.
And then kicked my elbow. And I thought about turning around and saying something, but here's the thing. There's nothing she can do about it.
That's not true. I used to fly with a 2-year-old. Okay. You can't control the screaming and and as I wrote in Shitty Mom, they should scream because they're inheriting a world that's on fire. But,
that's a great joke.
You can't, maybe I could put that in my act, right?
Yes, please.
I mean, I
yes,
wrote
please.
It.
Yeah, you did.
So, but you can control the kicking. It's a pain in the ass, but you have to put your arm on their legs and you have to hold it there. And that's that. You have to put some body part on their legs and stop them from kicking. It's uncomfortable and it sucks. And you might be doing that for an hour until they stop.
Right. But you can't let them kick the seat. Right. But, well, and I was just like, well,
you have the right to ask for that and say, I am well acquainted with a mother who threw her body across her son's legs to not kick somebody in the back.
Right. I was just like, it's just, yeah, I was just kind of, I didn't do anything. I was just like, whatever. But anyway, so I couldn't sleep on the flight. And then, and then I get here and then I get to the hotel and it's everyone's, I'm polite, they're polite, I'm polite, they're polite, they're more polite. And then we're just standing there and I'm all checked in and everything. But I finally, I'm just like, okay, I've hit a wall, you guys. I just need the key. Can I please have the key? And they're like, we're almost there.
It was taking them a while to get you the key?
Yeah. And the tour manager for Brian Regan had already checked me in.
Oh, at the tour manager. Okay. I thought it was the hotel. Okay,
no, it was the hotel because David had already checked me in. I should have just walked up, shown my ID and gone to my room. But there, for some reason, there was a lot of interaction. So I get up to the room. I find out that I have left one of my charger bricks and my AirPod holder and charger either in the cab. I've left it in the cab or I've dropped it on the street.
Oh.
It's gone. So that phone call might have been Amazon delivering a new AirPod charger to the front desk for me.
Okay.
Because
I see.
Because my life, for some reason, I'm clumsily going through life these 2 days, and I don't like it.
You're actually losing things, whereas I think I've lost them and then find them. But
you got a free wallet.
Energy. I
got
a free wallet from After Midnight, and it has an AirTag on it as well. So that was really sweet, Jackie. I went major clothes shopping on Tuesday because we were taping on Wednesday, and it just drains the hell out of me. I hate it. I ended
some
up getting
people love it.
I bought a couple pink jackets from. That's the only color that's out there is pink for women right now. they're still doing Barbie pink. I'm like, is there anything else? Please, there wasn't. I had to return.
You look super
stuff,
cute.
Some stuff yesterday. Thank you. So did you? You were you? I saw you holding up gold lame, but you didn't wear it, right?
No, gold lame could not.
That
happen.
Was incredible.
Here's what happened with Kat. Kat Eves is the stylist that Carmen Morales and Jenny Zagrino and everybody suggested I go to. And she's great.
Mm-hmm.
And she came up with that outfit that I wore in my Don't Tell outfit with that long coat. But that long coat is a fashion item and was super expensive, so I couldn't buy it. So I got the gold sparkle shirt, which had a lot of sternum in my Don't Tell. You guys want to see some cleavage? Why don't you go look at that Don't Tell on the Don't Tell YouTube channel. If you want to see a lot of sternum and some side boob from the middle, that's what I call cleavage.
Yes.
Side boob from the middle. And then these green pleather pants, which are awesome. And then the boots that I wore for Don't Tell, but I couldn't face wearing them for After Midnight because I wanted to kind of mix it up. And then I bought, so Kat couldn't be, she couldn't bring me a pile of clothes to buy because she was ill. She got sick. And she said, I can, and then I went to Vegas last weekend and she hooked me up with a woman in Vegas who I bought from her a gold lame pants and shirt outfit that I don't know that
Jackie.
I will. Pants and shirt that match. Pants and shirt. And then.
Wait, so neck to ankle, you could be a shiny gold being. Is that what I'm hearing?
Yes. Yes.
Wow.
It could be a disco moment. It felt very Vegas. I don't know why I bought it. I think I bought it for the same reason I bought this skin thing as I walked by and they talked me in. Because nobody gets suckered more than a sucker. So as my dad's
Jackie,
like, nobody buys more nonsense. Yeah.
Oh, we are doing another Jackie and Lori Presents at Blappers in Burbank on April 22nd, correct?
Are we? Okay, good.
I think
April 22nd. Amanda Cohen's
well, let's
due.
Triple check that.
April 22nd.
And
yeah,
Jackie, what I would recommend is that you wear your gold LeMay outfit on that date. Let's double check before we commit to anything.
Right. And let me tell you that
that's what I request.
Kat Eves, I sent her a picture of it and she said, "What did you buy?" And so she's the stylist. So even
she
doesn't encourage.
She's not...
Yeah. And but I also bought in Vegas I don't think it's really leather, but a black fringe cowboy jacket, which is what I did
wear. You wore that on the show. Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
And then,
I liked it.
Yeah, and then I wore...
It's suede, isn't it?
It might have been suede. Yeah, it felt like suede. Okay. I don't know if it was real. But then my cool high tops, which are embroidered, I wore those. Which, yeah. By the way, were like... They're the Converse. They look like Converse high tops, except for that they aren't because mm-hmm. they're hand-embroidered. And they don't have any support. So in between shoots,
oh, that's
I asked
right.
for
you were
chair.
Such a diva. Yeah.
I felt
yeah, unbelievable.
So I was just, all I did was, I mean, they were just touching up makeup and stuff like that. So I went and sat on the edge of the stage, like a comic,
yeah.
like a regular person.
Yeah.
And it turns mm-hmm. out the staff at After Midnight was like, "You're not an animal. We have chairs, Jackie." So they brought me a chair every time we would stop filming. And I felt very much like a burden.
That's when I'm like, oh, it's nice to be talent, because they rush over to you. They touch you up. Someone gives you a water and then when you're done with it, they take it.
Even though there was a water holder.
You put it in a hand. It's,
yeah.
I'm like, I could see how people become monsters after, you know, years of treatment like this. Like, there was a video of J-Lo chewing gum and then giving it to her assistant.
Right.
And yeah, that happens all the time, you know? Right. And
right.
How can you be normal when you are allowed by your job and your union to put chewed gum in the hand of another person? It's not right.
Right. There's no justice, which means, of course, there's no peace. So, weirdly enough, of all the jokes that were listed on the things, we all kind of picked jokes that went to our personality.
Oh, yeah.
I thought so. Like, Maria picked that fart joke. She loves a silly fart joke with the power of the sun.
Sure.
And,
oh, yeah.
And you picked some very dark stuff. And then I went a little political. So what?
Listen, my
because that's my theme, by the way, a little political. Go ahead.
Yes, I did do hand jobs with my brother. I don't have a brother, by the way, which is why I felt safe in saying that one. Barcelona
Rude.
Joke was mine. But okay. After I wrote that one, I'm like, I'm done writing for the day. I'll
nice
take
hair
what they
flip.
Give me.
Nice hair flip.
Thank you. Yeah, it was a lot of fun. Taylor is
I did
super
the Armenian Turk thing. Yeah.
Oh, did they keep that in when I made fun of you and the Turks and all that?
Yeah, and then they kept in also the dead dad thing.
Oh, okay, cool. Oh, right. Yeah.
Right, because you said Armenian.
Yeah,
it's always
on.
With the Turks with you. And then
yeah.
you said something about the dad. And I said, it's always with your dead dad with you. So there you go.
Yeah, it was really cool. Well done. Real easy. You know, the worry about it was worse than actually doing it. I think the worry about the what I would wear was much more stressful than actually doing any part of the show. It was a lot of fun, you know?
Right.
And with you guys, it was fun with you guys. Cause I know you guys, I know you're,
right.
you know, we, when I did Midnight, I was on with, I forget who, and Doug Benson. And Doug Benson is the uncontested king of Midnight. And I felt like it. You
I thought
know,
it was fun.
I was going to get crushed, and I did get crushed. But this one didn't feel like anyone was going to get crushed. It was just, we're all going to get our jokes out, and hopefully people that are in the studio audience and at home are laughing. That's the whole point, is we're all supposed to be, you know, getting laughs.
Right. I would like to tell you, by the way, that I know when your birthday is. I was just lighting you up. And
but I, how many times did I have to tell you when my birthday was?
Oh, at least twice. At least, I don't know how long we've been doing this, 6 years. But because the thing is, so they asked when our birthdays were, and Maria, and I don't know if they kept this, but Maria was like, Jackie has always told me she doesn't care. And I was like, yeah, we never celebrated it as children. 1 year we all got to celebrate our birthday. And then Nancy realized that my dad didn't care. And she was like, oh, then I don't have to. And so we all got 1 year of good birthdays. And then she was like, we're good. And then, so I believe Maria's is in September. I know yours is the 16th, only because it's 4 days before mine. And then, but I did love that Maria was like, that she wanted to lose.
Yeah.
And then you were like, well, I love that too. Yeah.
I don't like winning that way. That was fun. It was, I love her commitment to losing a game we're supposed to want to win. And Bruce said, Maria wants to look old. She's trying to look older. I'm like, because I was freaking out. I'm like, how do we look, you know? I don't know.
Yeah, I would never ask Bruce that. I would absolutely never ask for Bruce's opinion. Because he'll give it to me anyway. But it's not that I'm not going to get it. But I'm not going to.
But I guess what I'm saying is I love Maria's anti-hero stance on every fucking thing that we are supposed to want. And she always makes me go, yeah, why am I trying to want that? Like, who cares? You know? Right. She has rejected things earlier than the rest of us, and in doing so made a path for the rest of us should we want to follow. And I appreciate that a lot.
Right, right. And
however, yes. I did buy, you know, like $200 worth of anti-aging products after I saw myself on TV.
Hilarious. So in Vegas, I got sucked into this skincare place. I was just looking for a breakfast restaurant, and I asked them, and that's what they were like, well, just come on in. It'll take a couple of seconds. I forget that is sales talk for, I'm going to need 40 minutes of your time. And I literally, and in the end they were like, okay, so you'll buy this $400, and then you'll get this free thing and I was like, no, I'm never going to use that stuff. I'm literally, if I were to give you $400, I might as well give you $400, tell you to keep it and tell you to sell it to someone else for $200. And then the guy goes, all right, I'll give it to you for $200.
What? Oh my God.
And then I felt bad. So I gave him $200.
No, Jackie. That guy.
And now it's sitting in my bag and I'm supposed to do it once a week. One thing is some sort of weird collagen thing that freezes my face for a second. And the other one is a scrub that's supposed to scrub away the aging process. And I'm supposed to use each of these once a day, once a week. But what I've done is I've tried to use a handful of each of them every time I remember, so that then I won't have to carry them around anymore.
Right. I mean, first of all, I want to hear that guy's podcast called Dumb Sales of the Week so he can talk about how he still got $200 from a lady committed to not buying anything.
Oh, my God. That's the definition of the damn sales. That's the definition of the damn thing. Anyway, is it April 22nd, by the way? I know that you were checking.
No, I was listening to you. I'm sorry, Jackie. I was listening. I was paying attention. Oh, I didn't check.
You said we should double check that. Were you just making...
Yeah.
You were just making a note?
After our podcast, unless you want to take a break right now and we could double check it. Shall we do that?
Let's take a break.
And then okay. Hold on.
Are you tired of being picked on for only wanting to talk about your cat at parties?
Do you feel as though your friends don't understand the depth of love you have for your guinea pig?
look around a room of people, do you wonder if they know sloths only have to eat one leaf a month?
Have you ever dumped someone for saying they're just not an animal person?
Us too.
She's Alexis B. Preston.
She's Ella McLeod.
And we host Comfort Creatures, the show where you can't talk about your pets too much, animal trivia is our love language, and dragons are just as real as dinosaurs.
Tune in to Comfort Creatures every Thursday on Maximum Fun.
And I'm not wearing that gold outfit. There you go. But here's the good
news. Come on.
We have a comic of the week, you guys. You want to do comic of the week?
Yes. Yeah, let's do comic of the week. I thought we did this gal like years ago. Go ahead,
her name's
Jackie.
Kelly. Her name's Kelly.
McInerney. Did you forget her last name?
I couldn't. I didn't know how to pronounce it all. So I didn't want to fuck it up.
Yeah,
she was
very funny. She was
Yes.
Okay, yeah, so Kelly McInerney, who used to be sort of like, what was her old Instagram handle? Holly Weirdo. Yeah. I feel like we've done her before, but clearly.
Yeah, she's hilarious. And Holly Weirdo could not be a less helpful handle, aside from any Lori 16.
Right.
I can't believe there's not many of us, but there's enough of us who didn't think this would help our careers that we really have hampered ourselves.
Book her a bunch.
And I commend her for going, fuck it, I'm not committing to this, and coming back with her name. Good for her. Good for Kelly.
Wow.
McInerney. Yeah.
McInerney, she's great. The last reel I watched of hers, just to remind me of who she was, because I remember people by their material. I'm sorry, Dragon Riders of Pern over here. I'm like Falar. Anyway, that's the name of the character. Okay, well, why don't you reference some zombie fucking shit? Here's the scoop. Kelly McInerney did a great joke about her grandma being a leprechaun, and that was that's good stuff, you guys. That's some comedy gold. So find her, follow her, give her, hand her a 20. Tell her that we sent you.
Sure. Yeah, all of that. Jackie, I am turning into the person you call when your preferred headliner canceled. Because, I picked up Maria's gig at Cap City a couple weekends ago. And now... John Doerr had to cancel his week at the San Francisco Punchline, and I am there the 24th, April 24th through the 27th. My Bay Area friends, I have not much time to promote this gig. Please come out. There's a lot of new material, and there's old stuff I'm trying to dump as quickly as possible, but I'm trying to give it some new life before I dump it. But
so
yeah,
go and see
out.
It before it before it gets retired. See it now live.
Yes, these are live shows. Me, you, I'm willing to drop material at any second to talk to the audience, but I also do not film you. It's a private event, as far as I'm concerned. Keep the cameras on this face. But they will be fun shows. I guarantee they will be fun shows because I'm a fun comedian. God damn it. So come to the shows Wednesday through Saturday at the San Francisco Punchline, right off the Embarcadero Station for Bay Area Rapid Transit, a.k.a. BART.
Well, congratulations on that. That is cool. That is awesome that you're picking up stuff like that. My agent told me that
I'd like to have shit booked out in advance, but yeah, I mean, you know, it's a little terrifying to go into April with no work and then all of a sudden have like work. I mean, it's great, but it's like the unnecessary panic I went through in say February going, what? There's fucking nothing happening here. You know,
you have
spared myself.
God
that.
Is your employer, Lori. I don't think you understand.
I call him Allah, Jackie, and you can he needs call to get me more work.
Exactly. You can call him a bottle of water. I don't give a damn. It's what I have to do is I have to trust in the universe, right? I have to trust that there's going to be work because my agent told me, because I sent him a list of cities. I was like, I don't want you to get yelled at. If I book some weirdo, like 100-seat winery, and because the club won't book me, So tell me if you have any irons in the fire. And he wrote me back and he said, I'm sorry, Jackie, I have no irons in the fire for you.
Shit.
So I booked...
Jackie, it's fucking hard out here.
I booked a one-nighter in Pittsburgh. I booked a one-nighter in Portland. I'm just going to try to pick up some work, man. I am doing a weird run in northern Minnesota. This reminds me of the 90s, you guys, when I lived in Minneapolis. I'm doing Hayward, Minnesota.
I swear to God, we're going back to
Eau Claire.
Yes.
And then Madison. And then I've got 3 or 4 days off in between it all where I'm going to just drive around Wisconsin and Minnesota visiting my family, I guess, and crashing on couches like I'm in my 20s. But there you go.
Well, way to brag that you have places to stay in Minnesota and Wisconsin, Jackie. Some of us don't have multiple siblings housed all over the Midwest waiting for us to sleep on
their
couches.
Mary Mackle totally let you stay at her house in Minneapolis. So
doesn't she live like in the woods or something like cool? Something
she's helping with her mom right now out in the woods. But I think that they are building some sort of crazy, like I believe there to be cabins. I believe there to be some sort of woods,
you know,
buildings in the woods.
I love it. There's like, for comics, there is a time where you will be called to help with your aging parents, and it will shock you.
Oh, you know? Look at Rontowski. Yeah, look at Kira Sultanovich. Look at all of us.
I know. It's like you will have had this incredible freedom for X amount of years, do what you want, go to any clubs, do one-nighters and all that, and then you are changing the diapers of an elderly person, not a baby who is your future, but of an elderly person who is the past. And that's, I don't know, you did list only female comics. I'm not saying the men don't do it, but I guess most of the examples I know are female comics going home or helping out. You know what
I mean? They either have sisters or, so.
Right. Anyway, it's a shocker.
It is. So tonight is Wednesday when this goes up, and I will be in Minneapolis at the Pantages Theater with Maria Bamford.
Neat.
Because she's been ill for the last couple of weeks, but I believe it's all going to work out, and she's going to be at the Pantages tomorrow. I'm in Columbus right now. Tonight I'm opening for Brian Regan, but tomorrow with Maria, and then the next night... with Maria again, but outside of Pittsburgh in a place called Munhall, Pennsylvania. And she actually asked me to open for her in Portland at the Helium. And so, I don't know. Yeah.
What? No? So, when?
I don't know. I don't know. It's coming up. June, maybe?
I'm at Helium for one night in June because I'm up in Portland at Livewire doing Livewire. So I'm doing Helium the next night. It's either June 5th or June 6th. But to our Portland fan base, you could help both of us out if you come to our shows in Portland. I mean, you'll have a good time. You're not doing charity work. You'll have a good time. I promise. But also, fill rooms, the more we can work and keep doing this. Including this dumb podcast.
The San Francisco, it's in July because the San Francisco I'm doing Portland by myself. Because I'm doing San Francisco, she gave me a midweek. So I'm doing 16, 17, 18 in July. And I'm going to quote Laurie Kilmartin, fucking fill that room for me so that the San Francisco Punchline will have me back on a weekend. And also I get a bump if I sell out the room. So if you guys could just fly family.
Come out, bring your friends.
Just make it so. I mean,
if you're listening, you are part of our audience, right? And so
but they may
when
not live in
to
San
your
Francisco.
Town,
yeah, exactly.
Show up. Like be part of it. Come tell us that we'll give you free stickers if you tell us you listen to the podcast. Like come out. That's part of your job as the audience is to participate in the live shows.
Right. So that's July 16, 17, and 18. That's Lori's Lori's birthday, July 16th, the 17th, my friend Stefan's birthday, and then the 18th, and then the 19th, I'll be, because I just am like, I got to fill something here, and Punchline has some sort of 90-day, 90-mile thing where I can't.
Radius, yeah.
Right, so I'm going to Portland on July 19th to do the Siren, just one night.
Oh, cool.
I think, is it Livewire on a Friday?
It's, or is Livewire on a Saturday? Wednesday or a Thursday. No,
oh, is it?
It's either a Wednesday or a Thursday. Yeah.
I always thought it was a weekend night. And then, so that Friday, I'm going to be in July 19th. I'm going to be in Portland, Oregon. I'm trying to find something on the 20th. I'd love to do like Spokane, even that Coeur d'Alene, which is just some sort of Nazi stronghold in Idaho. It's within shouting distance of some friends of mine who live in Spokane. So,
even Nazi strongholds have people who are not Nazis who are dying for somebody nice to come to town and entertain.
Exactly. I want to perform for the French Resistance in Coeur d'Alene, please. And
exactly. Bring your little berets and come on out, guys.
I got pins. And remember I had those enamel French Resistance pins made? No?
Yes. Did you?
I gave you one. Yeah, I did. Wow. Because they were at the French Resistance Museum and they didn't have replicas in the. I think I did. I think I gave you an enamel pin because my nephew was like, you should sell them. And I was like, I should sell replica French Resistance pins for profit. And he's like, well, you could sell them at cost. And I was like, stop talking. And it's the apple does not fall that far from the tree, my little Cations.
It fell far from the tree if your nephew is asking you to do something and not get paid for it. It fell very far from the tree. That is not something your dad would ever recommend.
He was course correcting. He was literally course correcting. So, so this week I come back. I'm doing a bunch of, I'm home for the next 2 weeks before I go to Seattle. You should totally come and see me in Seattle too, by the way. I'm at Laughs in Seattle, May 3rd and 4th. And, but I'm doing a lot of, like, I think I'm doing Largo with Fred Armisen. I'm doing Dynasty with Dana Gould. I'm thinking about why don't I ask Dynasty or Largo if I can do a show? These are all the
every
thoughts
time
that
I'm
are
here,
in my
I
brain
think
box.
The same thing. Yes, I know.
And then
when comics of our level or lower, you know, like in maybe time in the business or whatever, are doing these a night with. Like, are they pitching it or is Largo coming to them?
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah,
or
I don't know.
Is it looking at their social media and going, this person can fill it? Or is it, I don't know what the process is. I mean, I feel like we just kind of got, it feels like this all the time. Skipped.
Yeah.
Just skipped. Yeah. Just, we'll get to the next generation. Well, we're still here. whatever. But that's right. Also like almost a Gen X thing too. There's another post about Social Security and they listed all the generations that would need Social Security and they completely skipped Gen X.
Oh, what? They don't think we're going to need it?
With our generation or just our level of comics? I don't know.
But we've been paying in. And so that's the thing about Social Security that always cracks me up. They're going to take away Social Security. I was like, oh, really? Could I have my several hundred thousand dollars back then? Because I had a day job until 2003.
Thank you. Exactly. I paid in every time I got paid. We still pay into it, Jackie.
Yeah.
We don't totally pay in because we're independent contractors. We pay in. Leanne Morgan, you know, Karen and Leanne Morgan who are unrelated, but they both have had like a huge boost. They're both like pretty clean comics and stuff and Southern.
Nice. My mother-in-law like, watched that. She watched both of those. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
She got them mixed up and I was like, yeah, me too. Go ahead.
Like they're inspirational. Good. Even though, like, I'm like, oh, I'm not clean like that. I can't have what they have because I'm not clean. And I'm a dirty soul, right? But they found their audience, right? I love it. And Leanne Morgan is, I just saw this on Instagram, she was I think she was an Avon or a Mary Kay, like, makeup sales lady, right? Now she has a makeup line. Because all these fucking male comics are doing booze lines.
Oh, right. That's their own whiskey.
Gaffigan has a bourbon. That's why he said he has.
Oh, that's why he was talking about.
And a lot of male comics. Yeah, they've got vodka, they, whatever. And Leanne's doing makeup. And I'm like, good for her. You know, that's cool.
Can I put out
I don't expect to ever have either of their levels of success because of my, how, whatever dark or filthy I am. But, you know, it's out. Something's out there. We just have to find our audience. People who would love us don't know we're alive. And if they did, they would come to see our shows and we would be happy.
Right. And we do. I mean, the people who do love us come and see us, and that's great. And what you're saying is that there's 11 million other people who are just
more,
like,
and they haven't found us yet.
Right.
And somehow we have to get ourselves in front of them.
They will. It'll be fine.
Maybe.
But I'm psyched about all the LA sets I have coming up, quite honestly, just because I picked up, like, I did a set the other night at the Improv, and I followed, it was Hunter, I forget his last name.
Hunter Hill?
Yep. And he was hosting. Yeah. Eliza went up first. Eliza did, she's great. The thing is as she's matured, like, because she's always loved stand-up so much. It's always great to watch, you know, one of the younger comics sort of come into their own. And, you know, and she knows this, is that she's so certain of herself that that she irritated me for a little while. But because that sort of, I'm from Wisconsin. I'm too much a Minneapolis comic where I'm like, no, you tell me I'm good. No, shut up. Just tell them you're great, Jackie. Just be the genius you are and own it. And then they'll agree. So, but I really, her set was so funny because it was this stuff about, she's a very funny bit. And then, but it, she closed it on this thing about the patriarchy that I thought, I thought about offering her a tag, and I thought, well, I don't want people to offer me a tag. So,
why not?
I know.
She bolted. Yeah.
Yeah. She bolted anyway. So, but it was I thought that the patriarchy, you know, it was clearly a new bit. It was great. But, and I actually, was it clear that it was a new bit? I don't know. I might be talking out of my ass, you guys. Tell Eliza I like her. Anyway, so, and then Maz Jobrani went up, and then I went up.
Who?
And me?
Okay.
Maz.
Okay, sorry.
Yeah, you know Maz.
Yeah.
Maz Jobrani. Yeah, and he didn't even, I got up, and he had referenced her set, so I got, you know how sometimes you reference a person's set before you?
Yeah.
And so I just got up and I said, and happy Ramadan. And so to both of you, Maz and whoever's in the audience, not talking about how they're in Ramadan. And because he couldn't get anyone to admit that they were Muslim in the audience. But he was like, there has to be someone here. And then I did good, but this guy wasn't there, and I have a bit that I'm working on him about, and I don't know if you want me to mention him, so I'm going to type his name in the in the chat. So, yeah.
So you're working on a bit about him?
Yeah. Well, I reference him occasionally in the bit, because it's about it's about old dudes sleeping with 15-year-old girls and statutory rape, and I mean it's
right.
Even if her dad says it's okay. It's not okay.
Yeah.
That's the premise,
Jackie,
of the bit.
Welcome to USA Swimming in the 90s and the 80s. Go ahead. But
exactly. Except for your dad did not say it was okay.
No.
Not at all.
And he was like, that didn't happen to me. It happened to friends of mine. But yeah.
Oh, fair enough. Yeah, it's gross.
It was anyway. Quite prevalent. Anyway, yeah.
It's not all right. All 15-year-olds should touch other 15-year-olds. And it should be a lot of, you know, Can I? Is that okay? And because that's that's where consensual sex is at right now. It doesn't seem hot to me, though it does seem very respectful and nice. Anyway, so I did not do the bit. I would have done the bit, I like to think, if he would have been in the room. I didn't want to do the bit if he wasn't in the room. And I didn't want to do the bit. And I might have done the bit if he wasn't on the show.
Okay. Because
I think that there's like an ethical thing for me where I'm like, I have to do the bit if he's in the room and could get really mad and charge the stage. But or have some sort
now
of
now we're
rebuttal.
Talking. Now this is a comedy show I want to see.
Well, or rebuttal, right? I mean,
right.
Like if CK were in the room, I would like to think, and on the show, I would like to think that I would talk about it, about him blocking a doorway and not asking, you know, is this all right?
Yeah.
You guys, do you like this? Because I do. And I would like to show you how big it gets. And then, I assume, right? It does grow.
I don't even know what we're talking
off.
About anymore.
I've weeded
I just
off
know you're
a lot.
A troublemaker.
Let's take a break.
Okay.
What is up, people of the world? Do you have an argument that you keep having with your friends and you just can't seem to settle it? And you're sitting there arguing about whether it's Star Trek or Star Wars, or you can't decide what is the best nut, or can't agree on what is the best cheese?
Stop doing that. Listen to We Got This with Mark and Hal, only on Max Fun.
Your topics asked and answered objectively, definitively, for all time.
So don't worry, everybody. We got this.
We got this.
All right, are we back?
We're back.
Jackie, I did a classic dumb thing. It turned out okay. So a booker in town, I looked at my text and the last spot I got from them was in June of 2023. I was offered a spot in November and I couldn't do it. So I took a screenshot of that and I meant to send it to the ladies chat with the thing. I guess my next spot will be in May, sarcastically. Instead, I sent it to the booker.
Oh, shit.
And then I said, oops, sorry. I was just complaining to a comic friend of mine. I guess I'll never work for you again, but I hardly do anyway, so it's no big deal. And then that booker was...
Did you write all of that?
Something like that. Something like that. Okay. And then the booker was like, we ended up, you know, it wasn't... It was the level of complaint wasn't so vitriolic that I couldn't, you know, play it off. Yeah. Mm-hmm. But it also was hard evidence. And I mean, you can't refute it. And then they were like, I'm sorry, you know, we'll get you. But it was all, you know, it was okay. But then again, if I don't get another, I won't know because if I don't get a spot in for the next 6 months, it could be the same as if I'd never accidentally sent that text to the booker. We'll see.
Right.
I don't know.
So I had this big drama with these people in the chat. With that person in the chat.
Okay.
And but this week I sent out avails to everyone because I need to fill the rest of my year because there are no irons in the fire, Lori. And so
yeah,
I have to put my own irons in the fire.
You don't want to hear that.
I don't want to hear that.
That doesn't feel good to hear.
So right. So I just pinged everybody, and I have not heard back from that person. I sent my avails essentially, like old timey. Here's my
that
avails.
That person doesn't book that room.
But
they're just
they implied that they could. They implied that they wanted to know if I wanted to work that city. So I said, I'm going to work the city. Can I please have work at your club? And then I have not heard back from that person. So I'm going to work whatever I can in that city. Maybe I'll work all of the clubs in that city, except the club that I want to work.
I love
there's
revenge,
a certain amount of
Jackie.
Respectability. Like there's so many more clubs. So I saw a lot of people are working a lot of new clubs. I saw that.
There's a lot of new rooms. There's a ton of new, comedy,
which is neat. Yeah.
Might be permanently popular in the United States now, which is good and bad.
I love that.
I guess it's
permanently popular.
Well, it seems like it's always gone in waves. But now it just seems like, because of social media, right? It's just, there's always going to be some comics that you can find that you like. It might not be, you know,
right.
Like it seems new markets are being created. New audiences are being created. Let's put it that way.
True.
And new comics are being created for those audiences too. But I don't know. I mean, it's still hard to get work because there's so many comedians. But
right, still got to grind it out. So last weekend I did what I call a tiny grind. I did a tiny grind, Lori. I didn't put enough effort into it, but I was busy. You know, we're trying to figure out Andy's mom, and there's so much work to the whole thing that I was like,
I know.
Well, you got to sit down and do your avails and figure out and old school send out avails and make this happen. And so I did some of it and I got some work. I got some work and some
That's
people,
cool.
I was ignored. So it's just like it was back when I did it initially. It turns out nothing has changed. I'll send out avails. Some people will book me and some people will not. And other people will respond. Oh, text me again in September, which was what I got from one guy. And I was like, you're not wrong. I will text you in September. Right?
There's some people, they obviously are not having any problems. They're turning down things. And it's like, I guess I thought at some point I'd be at that place. And to always be panicking.
I always think that Joan Rivers, like the fact that she was panicking at 80 is
insane.
That
was a mental disorder because she was a multimillionaire at that point. That was from when she literally couldn't get work after.
You don't think this is a mental disorder for the last 40 years? I think I've had a mental disorder for the last 40 years in stand-up comedy.
No, I don't, because you and me and other people at our level, we don't have coasting money. Okay. We were not going to, if we have 2 months without work, we're not going to go be homeless, but you start worrying. We don't have that chunk of money where you're like,
I'm very lucky in the fact that I have,
I'll be okay.
Right. I have prudent reserve, but my prudent reserve is dodgy right now. It's just lowering, but I always think to myself, if I had to get a job at Home Depot, I could. And, which is a weird thing to think of, but it is. I mean,
why Home Depot?
You're not wrong. I actually am not qualified to work at Home Depot, though I am, because you can't find anyone to help you at Home Depot. So I'd be completely qualified for that.
I'm always my back. I've always thought, well, Costco or Trader Joe's or something. But then I read about writers who are trying to get work at those places and can't get work because they always assume that you're going to quit as soon as you get a writing job. So we think we're eminently, we can do a lot of things. We comedians, the fact that we book ourselves, travel, all that we can do. Those are difficult skills to master to run your life, but it's hard to explain that to, I could work for the post office, right? I can fucking sort mail.
I hear that.
Or
that's
whatever they
maddening.
Do.
I wore a red shirt to Target the other day. Yeah, like literally
just
that.
To see what it would feel like.
Right. Pardon
well,
me.
Well.
I know it. So many things are happening around me. Maria. All I am, Lori. is a project. This day I am literally, I'm like, someone has to find me a cup of coffee and a muffin and a task and I've got to finish this book. And then Andy called me this morning. He's like, did you play Marvel Puzzle Quest? There's an event quest that's important this week. And I was like, no, I've yet to play Marvel Puzzle Quest this morning. I'll get on it. And the thing is, I want to play Marvel Puzzle Quest. It's a match three. It's sort of a Candy Crush, but it's with Marvel superheroes. And there's I have to stun people 10 times, and I have to get repeater tiles. Anyway, so there's things that have to happen in a video game on my phone, because I'm letting people down in the guild, Lori. I don't want to let people down in the guild. There's at least 2 hours of Marvel Puzzle Quest that's needed out of me.
Do you mean like a guild, like a union, or is this a guild within the game?
In the game. In the game. It's a bunch of...
Oh, my God.
It's my team.
I just struck for 8 months, and I don't want to hear about your fake guild in a play game, okay? There's a real guild out there.
You think I wasn't striking? I was striking. I got a t-shirt. Anyway, so do you ever wear your strike t-shirt? You ever wear just wear your strike t-shirt actually, around?
We're supposed to wear them on Fridays in solidarity with IATSE, who might be striking.
Okay.
Oh, that's what someone told me. A lot of what the problem is with people not, you know, the business seeming still stuck is that they're anticipating an IATSE strike. And then everything is going to go down again.
Are the Teamsters in the IATSE? Is that what? Because I was told it was Teamsters.
No, the Teamsters will not cross IATSE lines. They won't cross. So that shuts everything down. I went to a rally, and one of the Teamster guys was there, and they were saying they would participate in that. So, yeah. Anyway, more. It's just and all these studios end up. You know, accepting most of the offers at the very end, but they just want to crush things before they do. Like, they just want to crush workers and get as many people to give up and move away before they agree to the terms that they are going to agree to anyway. Like, it's maddening, you know? Does anyone want to make shit out here anymore that has money? What are they doing?
I was talking to a comic friend of mine from England who was in town, and she took a general, and she said, you know what I don't like about a general is that I want there to be two generals. And she's a British comic who gets to work. She writes, she performs, she has a sitcom. She has all these things in England. And but she came here and was hanging out, and we had coffee, and it was lovely. But she was talking about how the first general should be, she said she met with this woman, and the woman had clearly not seen any of her work. And she's like, you know, I have a show. She's like, okay. So the first general is, do you like what you see? Do you see any future in wanting to be working with this? And because the next time, then I'll pitch you ideas, but you're going to have to watch my stuff, that anything, my stand-up, my sitcoms,
I mean, these
acting
executives,
reel,
they
anything.
Have a job. Literally just watch a little bit.
Right. But she was like, I didn't even get a free salad. And you know, that's a key thing. So, like, I once had a meeting with Olivia Munn, which I was not told that she had a first look deal with CBS. So I didn't know why we were meeting. And I never know anything anyway, because I'm just trying to do stand-up comedy, and then please put me to work in your other thing if you want me to do your other thing. Because I'm willing to do your other thing. I just don't know enough. I'm only thinking about stand-up, sadly. And I wish I had the bandwidth to think about other things. And because I want to do everything. I would also like to learn how to windsurf. Have you ever wanted to? Okay. It's been an hour, I think.
That's it?
Yeah.
Maximum Fun, a worker-owned network
of artist-owned shows.
Supported
directly
by you.